the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
As Barry mentioned, some of his favourite childhood memories were of his grandfather's printing business. So with that in mind, and with the election campaign also in full swing and the sound of printing presses churning out election posters ringing in our ears, we decided to take a trip to the National Print Museum close to the Grand Canal in Dublin to meet tour guide Ciarán Heaney to hear stories from Ireland's printing presses. Hello, Ciarán. Richard.
Richard. It's great to see you. You're very welcome to the National Print Museum.
Thank you. It's absolutely beautiful in here, all of these old printing machines. Hard to know where to start. What's this one here beside me, Ciarán?
Yes. Well, that actually is a replica of Gutenberg's very first printing press. How we got that is an interesting story. There was a TV series called The Tudors. They needed a replica of one, so they contacted the museum. Then they gave it to us when they finished the shoot.
So this is the one that was in the TV series. It looks fantastic. They did a lovely job on it.
They absolutely did a marvellous job.
This is a really big, old print machine here, Ciarán. Where is this from or how old is it?
Yeah, well, actually, these were first manufactured around the 1850s. And this was used by the Nina Chronicle up to the 1930s. And then they gave it to us.
I was going to say it weighs a ton. It probably weighs several ton, actually.
Yeah.
But it's
absolutely
a beautiful old piece of machinery.
It is. It absolutely is. It's a work of art, I'd say.
When you think of all of the local court cases and the local stories and the local everything that would have been printed for so many years for the Nina newspaper.
Well, exactly. Yeah. First World War and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Amazing.
I see over here the Proclamation of Independence, Ciarán, from 1916. From a printing point of view, what's the story behind that?
So a couple of days before they're going to print it, the British Army raided their print shop and took away all of their movable type, so there's nothing to print with. They still had their printing press. That was a big, heavy thing. They weren't going to take that away. So they went to another print shop and they borrowed as much as they could, but they didn't have enough. So what they had to do was they had to compose the first half, run that through the printer, then reuse the letters to the second half and run the same paper through. And that's why in our particular example, the top half looks a little bit darker than the bottom half. They also had a few more problems. They only had one R and they used that in Republic. So what they had to do was to get a P, stick a bit of sealing wax on it to make it look like an R for Irish.
It was always going to be an uphill battle in 1916, but it really was, wasn't it? Even getting the posters printed.
And also in Republic, they didn't have a C, but they did have an O. So they cut a bit out of that and they made the C. And then in the font below it, where it says to the people of Ireland, they didn't have an E for the, but they did have an F, more sealing wax, please, and they made an E out of the F.
The main thing is, as with the wider project, they got there in the end.
Exactly, and they actually made only one mistake. They got one letter upside down. I think we can forgive them for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You mentioned there about missing the little letterpress, and I see over here there are all of these beautiful old drawers. Could we have a look at those?
Absolutely.
So I suppose really what we have here are beautiful old wooden drawers that go in a case. Some of them have been taken out and are on display. And then when you open up the case, there are these little cubby holes which are filled with metal letters or letterpress. That would be letterpress, Ciarán, would it?
Yeah, well, we will just call them metal movable type as the name we give the individual letters. They were also called sorts. If you were composing something and you ran out of letters, not only would you not be very happy, but you'd also be out of sorts.
And that's where the phrase comes from.
And that's where the phrase comes from. Also, with the lowercase letters, because they're kind of upside down back to front, it can be very difficult to tell which is which. And we happen to have the P's and the Q's more or less right beside each other. And so it can be very easy to pick the wrong one. So you've got to mind your P's and Q's.
there's something captivating for people, I think of any age, about printing, book publishing, book printing, newspaper printing, magazines. Do you have a sense of being steeped in and surrounded by the romanticism of the world of printing?
Richard, no. I don't think would have been all that romantic at all. Like, for instance, the alloy that they used for casting the lines of text and so on and so forth, they were mainly based in lead. And so at the end of each day, when they're finished, they melt everything back down and start again in what they called the hell pot. And, of course, they were breathing in lead fumes. Now, doctors back then didn't know about lead poisoning, so the doctors prescribed a glass of milk a day. Very unromantic.
No, that's a different impression of it. After a lot of these processes ended, newspapers still continued to use some of the phrases. So, for example, there would have been a case room in the newspaper. I remember in one paper I worked in, the case room was nicknamed the vivarium because somebody suggested that if you stood and looked for long enough, you'd see one of them move.
I didn't know that particular one. I might use that in future.
We might leave you on that note, Kieran.
I tell you, before you go, would you mind if I recited a poem for you? It actually was written by an old printer called Vinnie Caprani. It's called The Printer's Anthem, and it goes through the history of printing.
Beautiful. Go for it, Jeff.
We learnt the shape of letters from the writings of the monks, from charred the Roman pillars strewn about in shattered chunks. Then we moulded bits of metal for to make our alphabet and learned to pick the pieces so a sentence might be set. We probed all masses' colours, now painters learn to think, and as they pondered on their pigments, thus we made our printer's ink. From dawn to dusk and divilment daubed an inky mess, we hauled the heavy handle and heaved the mighty press. We gathered up the scattered sheets, folding as we took, and cut the page, screwed the spine and glued the growing book. We made the mighty muscles and rods that seldom miss, and manufactured missiles from the molten metal's hiss. And we made the hymns for holy folk and printed prayer for priest, and penny sheets of ballads for the lowly and the least. And from handmade paper that we measured out in reams, we gave the world each masterpiece and mankind all its dreams. Thanks again for visiting, Richard.
Thank you to Kieran Healy, and it was lovely to meet him at the National Print Museum, and admission is free.